Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Boys Podcast. This is Angelo, and you know the drill. Like us on Facebook, the South Boys Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at South Boys Pod, and on Instagram, South Boys Podcast. Or if you're old school, you can also email us your inquiries, questions, shoutouts to our email address, southboys.podcast@gmail.com. We're also up on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel, Navs Ganglani. So for this episode, we have Eros Villanueva, columnist for Spin PH, and we broke down, or should I say, he broke down the PBA final so far. We recorded this on October 26, just before Game 4, so he broke down all the adjustments that Magnolia made and how TNT has been beating Magnolia so far. And then at the end, we switched to the NBA and talked about our Lakers. So Laker fan din pala si Eros, and as you may know, Laker fan din ako. So we rambled about that, and yeah, this is an incredible episode, insightful episode from Eros Villanueva. We're in for a treat in this episode. We have one of the best and brightest writers covering basketball in the country today. He's a columnist for Spin PH. And fun fact, one of the literal meanings of his name is passionate love. And there's no doubt that whenever you read his articles, you can sense or feel that over his overflowing passion for the game. So please welcome to the South Boys Podcast, Eros Villanueva. Eros, kamusta?
Hey man, happy to be here. Very, very grateful. Honored.
Thank you, Eros. So, tama ba yung definition ko of your name?
I think so. Actually, paiba-iba. Some meaning state na yung Roman version of the name of Cupid, but some naman is physical love or something. You know, it differs depending sa
research. Meron nga din it came ito yung pinanggalingan ng word na erotic love. So ibang podcast naman na yon yung erotic stuff. So congrats pala on your new spot on Spin. Sa mga hindi nakakaalam, Eros here became a columnist for Spin just a few weeks ago ba? Ganun na ba katagal?
Actually, I think 2 weeks ago. They're really maybe 10 days ago, to be exact, I guess. Probably 4 days fresh after the ESPN. Yeah, pretty fresh. Mm.
Yeah, and before that, he was writing for ESPN5, but unfortunately, I hate to bring this up, but ESPN5, sad to say, wasn't able to get a contract extension with Signal, therefore had to terminate their operations. But as they say, yeah, Ross, when a door closes, a window opens, and for you, that was Spin PH. So I guess I want to start there. I want to learn more about your journey, Eros. Maybe you can share with us the moment you knew you wanted to be a writer, to cover basketball for a living, and then how did your career shape up? If I'm not mistaken, when you were with Fox Philippines also, diba, before ESPN 5. So Eros, if you don't mind, we want to know your story.
Right. If we're going to be talking about my story, it has to be from the beginning. It's like most stories, but napunta kasi rito, ako rito because of, with a lot of help from a lot of people, like, you know, it helps to be good, but it also matters, like the fact that people recognize your skill, it also matters. So when I was in third year, so UST journalism, I was supposed to get an internship from AFP. Which I eventually got, pero hindi ko siya nasimulan. Kasi like the day that I applied dun sa AFP, someone urged me to apply dito sa Sports Illustrated Philippines, now closed, which is important din. And dun ako, when I met with the people there were a lot of, I guess, the Mashins, and then my people from LaSalle and all that, and they just said, start ka na bukas, tara. Because I think they understood that I had a bit of a grasp for sports, and so I started there. Even after my internship, I still covered UAAP games, limited pala sa UAAP games, and then I stopped riding sports mga December, let's say 2016. Yeah, I focused on school. I entered law school for a semester. I got into UP. I studied law for a semester. And then one of my partners sa ESPN, his name is Philip. Magkausap na kami all throughout my time there. And then he said he was just enjoying the time of his life covering sports, covering basketball. He was with ADBS even sports at the time. So, nung natapos yung semester ko sa UP law, I just said, you know what, screw it. I'm gonna do what I like doing. And I think I was pretty good at it naman. So, you know, why not? Then, one of, yung isa sa mga social media guys ng Fox nun, his name is Sir Imon. He said, hey, we have an opening here as a contributor for Fox Sports Philippines. Why not join? So I joined. For 3 months later, I got regularized as a lead editor for basketball. I stayed there for more than a year or so. I left because there was conflict, yeah, to say the least, like with the way that people from Singapore handled this stuff. So after naman, then I got picked up by ESPN5.com. I was recruited naman by the assistant editor ng Sports Illustrated, which is Sir JC naman. So I got, so he linked me up, and then I stayed there for 2 years. Awesome time. Eksera, because TV5 did what they had to do.
Yeah.
And then one of my kuyas naman from Spin. Nag-apply din kasi sa Spin in 2019. I was supposed to, kung hindi ako ESPN, I was gonna head over to Spin. But you know, it made more practical sense from a financial standpoint and a role standpoint on ESPN. So I went to ESPN. But isa sa mga kuyas ko dito sa Spin, his name is Kuya Randolph naman. He said, you know, why don't we bring you in to... Kasi di ba may call-up na sa Spin? His name is Homer. I don't know, but diplomatically speaking, they want me to like offer another perspective from you know, so some, you know, you already know what that means. So they wanted me to give another perspective on hoops related stuff, and then you know, I just started writing from there. And I've been writing breakdowns of every PBA finals game so far, and yeah, that's why I'm here right now.
What an interesting journey, Ero. So you took journalism in UST college, right? So before that, were you planning to go to law school after graduating, or why did you take up journalism and then go on to law school?
Yeah, nung high school kasi I thought pwede yung pre-law tong ano, pre-law na course yung journalism. So why not? And I was campus editor din ako ng high school. Small paper, small school. So parang I said, I have experience naman. Why not go to journalism? I was really bent on doing law, but you know, we don't always, hindi naman natutupad lahat ng plano natin in the first place. But no, you know, I'm very, very happy here.
Yeah, As the saying goes, man plans, God laughs. But we're all happy that you got into this track, and I'm already a big fan of your work, Eros. And I don't know what my life would be if I have not read your breakdowns. If you're in law school right now, so you mentioned you're a columnist for Spin PH. So for the less informed like me, what does that exactly entail, or what does being a columnist mean? Is that like different from a writer, or is that just a different name, a different like what you call a writer then, or is there a difference?
Yeah, I think initially, for most of my writing career, most of my life, I had a disdain towards the word columnist. Like I had this disdain say, I'm not saying lahat sila ganun, but a lot of columnists, they don't really do a lot of research. They don't really do, they don't really cover doon sa field. They just write
opinions, opinion based. Yeah.
And a lot of those opinions are not based on facts. And that's very responsible because why would you do that in the first place? Like, you know, do your legwork, cover, talk to people. I mean, a lot of these columnists talk to people, but you know, it's not really common for I guess, let's say people my age to be columnists. And it's not really a big deal in the first place, because I'm still a reporter at heart. I still plan on talking to people, talking to coaches, personalities, doing my legwork. I guess it's just columnist tagline. It's just, you get, they pay you to write opinions, but you know, for me that entails a different responsibility. I have to be responsible. So, for example, with my columns here at Spin, I wrote about Magnolia and TNT, obviously, but I had to ground them in facts and numbers. I'm good with numbers. I'm okay with film. So, you know, I just try to bring a different twist to the title columnist.
Yeah, so you're doing like the new generation type of being a columnist, and I really enjoy your pieces. So, Eros, I know you're probably tired of talking about yourself, so let's talk about the PBA finals right now. So you wrote in your game 2 analysis that, and I quote, "If Magnolia has any tricks up its sleeve, game 3 is definitely the time to lay them all out." And I think Coach Chito Victolero read your article, kasi parang nilabas niya nga lahat ng game 3, eh, 'di ba? So defensively, they went out with a box in 1, a triangle in 2. First time ko nga lang ata makita 'yon in pro basketball. And then they switch all the screens. And then offensively naman, they went with a more post-centric approach, feeding whenever they feed the ball in the post, a lot of off the ball movement, screening for Abueva, the guards, right? And Ian Sanggalang parang naging, he went on a parang Draymond Green role in that pose. Eh. He even had the game high 5 assists in game 3, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, Eros, what impressed you the most about Magnolia's game 3 win? Let's start with that.
Okay. The game 3 win was all about the defensive end. Like the defensive side of the floor, because they're not completely elite, but they're very good. They're very good on defense, so they get a lot of offense by kickstarting their defense, like passing lanes, playing the passing lanes, or just the full court press, forcing turnovers. There wasn't really a lot of that, but siguro yung nagstandout sa akin for me is you. Like they were desperate, so they had to try like box in 1 and then triangle in 2. Because in the first 2 games, TNT just hunted Ian Sanggalang. Not in every possession, it didn't always work, but a bulk of their offense really worked when they hunted Sanggalang in the pick and roll. Because, you know, Sanggalang, Ian is a very good post player, is a good player inside, but you know, defensively, he doesn't block a lot of shots. And when you force him to move on the perimeter, he doesn't do well there, like his teammates like Jackson or Rathy or Calvin. So I guess in order to remove that problem, they used to box in 1 and they used to triangle in 2, which means like there are 2 chasers or 1 chaser, and then you know, the 2 or the 3 or 4 other guys are boxing or forming a triangle or in the lane to zone it. It worked because. But save for a couple of moments in the first quarter where you see Ian medyo nasa tok-tok siya ng perimeter, when they moved him closer to the basket, so hindi na nalang ma-hunt yung pick and roll. Like, you know, let's say si Kelly or JP would pop out to set the screens. But like, you know, Ian's not gonna go there because naka-zone sila eh. So, tanggal na yung option mo to hunt. So, a lot of often, the offense stagnates then kasi when they use the box in 1 or the triangle in 2, on Mikey, on Roger, kuwari, triangle in 2. So, bantay si Roger, bantay si Mikey. The 3 others had to create their own offense. It worked from time to time, but it's not really sustainable. You know, you can't give it to JP, Era, or Brian Heruela, let them create the offense and just, you know, you live with that because they're not really, they're good, but they're not high-level offensive creators. And then, it didn't help that Roger doesn't, nung nag-box and one naman sila, and then, you know, yung isang chaser na kay Mikey, no one really could get anything going. Roger, after three games, is just, you know, scoring 10 points, averaging a shade under 40% from the field. You know, dun pa lang na stifle na lang offense. And I guess that led to incremental gains on the other end of the floor, where, you know, I guess there was a more concerted effort to get Pauly downhill off the screens, off of curls. I don't agree with maybe some of their approach. Kunwari, my perception dito sa Philippines na Ian is a great post player. He's a good post player, but you know, it's not sustainable. Kunwari, in game 2, he went 4 for 16 in the post or whenever he took a dribble. In game 3, he went 7 for 17. He was 7 for 20 overall. So, measure better, but, you know, it's not really sustainable offense. So, you know, I guess the defense, it was a defense that really kickstarted everything for Magnolia in game 3.
Yeah, the defense certainly threw TNT off, especially to start the game. And, like, the story of the series so far is whoever got the better start, they went on to win the game, diba? So, I want to go back to your preview article, Eros, again, and let's see how it shaped up in the series. So, let's go to your point number one in your preview article. Abueva and Sanggalang can and will steady the ship. So, you talked about Ian Sanggalang. He's not really the best offensive option for Magnolia, but they still go to that. And then Calvin, you know, is Calvin in this finals. So how is Abueva and Ian doing so far for you in the series?
No, let me just say that I think Ian has his value, a lot of value on offense. When you need quick points, throw it on the block and, you know, does his perk. But, you know, I hold the opinion that Ian is best when, you know, when you give him drop passes or when you put him in the pick and roll. You know, if you post him up, I think severely nababawasan yung effectivity niya, especially against TNT. You know, I think you know about stats by Raya and Dribble Media. They have this stat called
shout
defensive
out, yeah.
minus. Yeah, shout out to Ryan. In terms of defensive box plus minus, number 3 si Kelly Williams nasa top 30, si Poy nasa top 20 si Dave, but he didn't qualify because of minutes and games played, but you know, that says a lot about, you know, posting up against TNT is not a good option. But Ian works, he's shooting 39% from the field, but but it works because you know, whenever, how do I explain it? We Ryan and I talked about it a couple of times. We were debating about Ian's effectivity and Ian's value on offense. And, you know, we hold the opinion that he's not great. It's not a great option to post him up. But he's very good inside. He has a very soft touch inside with his left hand. And that has a lot of value. And during cold stretches, you know, never mind the shooting, during cold stretches, whenever Magnolia needed a basket or whenever they needed a spark, especially in game 2, nung natampakan sila ng, you know, big in the first half. But they stormed back in the fourth quarter because of some Magnolia TNT lapses and with Ian doing a lot of work. So he's been doing as expected on that end of the floor. I think hindi masyadong ramdam yung Calvin, but when you look at the numbers, I don't really have the numbers right now, but they're there. Whenever, it's just he gets you a lot of extra possessions with his hustle and with his, he's a very tremendous offensive rebounder. So, and whenever in the past, kasi the offense would stagnate because whenever the playmaking from the backcourt would just, you know, which would be shut down. You know, who's going to distribute the ball? Who's going to keep the ball moving? And Calvin has a lot of you know, value there. I think the defensive end of the floor right now, sakto lang kasi in games 1 and 2, you know, when they weren't targeting Ian Sanggalang, they were putting Calvin in the pick and roll. Not because he is a bad defensive player, but you know, they take away Calvin to help the defender because he's great at that role. So hindi mo maramdam masyado, but you know it's there. And for the most part, you know, during the stretches where Magnolia did show signs of life, the few times that they did show signs of life in game two and you know, in game three, they were there and they did steady the ship.
Yeah, how about you touched on Magnolia Magnolia's offense being stagnant for like many stretches. So that's your case against them, and it's coming to fruition, I think, in the finals so far in three games. So what have you seen on Magnolia's offense naman, Eros?
Well, again, pag ano, a lot of possessions devolve into sanggalang post-ups, which as evidenced by his shooting numbers, aren't really the most effective way to get him going. A lot of them, the Magnolia offensive struggles also came from Pauly just not shooting well at all. Like he didn't have it going in the first two games. You know, he couldn't create separation. Yung guards, they did a very good job staying close to the hip, you know, fighting over screens. I think Magnolia diversified a bit in game three. There were two actions, I guess, that stood out for me. There was one time where your very first offensive possession of the game for Magnolia, where Pauly hit the baseline jumper, drew a foul. That was off of a screen-to-screener set. And it was a very nice wrinkle. Coach Chito Victor has a very deep playbook, and you know, he's very good at deploying misdirections, screen-to-screeners. Very good. The problem is, yung personal ng Magnolia, alam naman natin na hindi naman sila kasing tulad nung two other San Miguel teams, you know, that have overflowing
firepower,
firepower and offensive talent. And you know, for Magnolia to really shine on offense, they need to have a really good day from people. Ian has to shoot well. He didn't in game 3, 7 out of 20. Oli did. Mark did. You know, Mark's not really a scorer, but he has to. Because I've seen a scorer aside from Paul and Ian. Calvin's not really going to get you a lot of points because I'm a bit shaky shot creation. Yeah. Gio scored 7 of the first 9 points in game 3.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think his limited range and his size limits him, yung offensive creation niya. Rome is more of a spot-up shooter at this point. You know, Mark has a nice floater going. Obviously, we all know that, like, he's probably gonna shoot floaters over everyone until he's 45 or something. But you know, he's got a nice range, and he's very effective. He's very efficient. I don't have the numbers, but he's very efficient this conference. So, you know, with Mark having a great offensive game, 16 points, 9 in the fourth quarter in game 3, you know, that helped a lot, especially during the times that nung stagnate yung offense nila, magkaroon sila ng cushion and because Mark scored 7 straight at one point early in the fourth quarter. That gave them an 18-point lead.
He even scored the crucial basket, diba, nung fourth quarter.
Yeah. The floater over Poyera to give them a 5-point lead. So, you know, medyo totoo pa rin yung offensive stagnation, but you know, I do hope that for the Hotshots' sake, Mark keeps shooting. Pauly remains healthy. Ian posts up a lot less, although hindi naman nila control lalo yun kasi when TNT is a very great defensive team, so sometimes they just have no choice but to dump it to Ian Sanggalang. So yeah.
Yeah, in game 3, it's a good sign for Magnolia's offense that five players scored double figures. As you said, Pauly, Ian Sanggalang, Calvin. Did Calvin score double figures in game 3?
And then you
have Baroka and Halalon, the two X factors for Magnolia. So what about Magnolia's defense? They're one of the best during the regular season defensively, and they yun nga, Chito went to his bag defensively. As you said, it's not sustainable to go like a box and one, a triangle and two whole game. And that's obviously that's not what we saw in game three. But what do you think will be the defensive coverage for Magnolia throughout the series?
That's tough to say. Well, I'm no coach, so I'm not gonna speculate. But in game three,
from your perspective,
from my perspective, sorry, in game three, during the times they veered away from box and one and the triangle in two, Mikey got going like on point. Okay, I got the flow. First quarter. Dikit kahit naka-box and one and triangle and two. Kasi si Ian Sangana medyo malapit sa perimeter. So, there were certain possessions where they forced Ian to defend the pick and roll. Kahit naka-triangle and two sila. So, that opened up things on the weak side. Lalo na set ka lang ng flare screen open yun na sa kabilang wing. Ganun yung offense. So, kaapat at tres sila. Yung dalawa doon, isa sa breakdown kay Pogo, yung isa corner three ni Haruela. Adjust mo, ilagay mo si Ian sa ilalim. Or ilagay mo si Rafi and si Jackson, so mas mobile, so walang i-hunt na mismatch, and that gets your offense going. When they veered away from the box and one and the triangle into in the second quarter, Mikey got going, scored 10 points, dumikit yung laro, 37 all. Bumalik sila sa box and one and triangle and two, nag-separate. Lumamang hanggang third quarter, nakagawin sila. Lumamang yung Magnolia ng 13. Nag-relax sila. In a sense na binigyan na si Mikey ng space. Played him less aggressively in the box and one and triangle and two. Mikey just needs a little bit of space and he's gonna kill you with that space. He's just gonna, you know, as evidence with his PBA finals record 10-3, he's just gonna kill you with a lot of threes. You give him that space. If you give him that space or if you let him get to his spot, get a lot of freedom through dribbles. That's what Magnolia did. Mikey scored 18 of TNT's 31 in the third quarter. Dumikit, humabol yun naro. So what did Magnolia do? Obviously, they reverted back to what worked. This time, they put Rafi Rivas on Mikey. Yeah. which was pretty wild. But you know, maybe some people might see it as a mismatch, but it's not. Rafi Rivas at 44 is still a very good defensive player. You know, at 6'8", he obviously has the length to bother Mikey or, you know, whenever he denies Mikey. It's a done deal kasi ang haba niya eh. He's very smart. According to Stat by Ryan on Dribble Media's defensive box plus minus number 7 siya doon. So that means at 44, he's still one of the best defenders in the PBA. That worked a lot. And Mikey only scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. So that works. I guess moving forward, I wrote in game, after game one, I wrote kasi na the zone is an option. But Magnolia might not be inclined to go that way because TNT just eviscerated the zone defense of San Miguel earlier in the series. So I think it would do Magnolia good to mix it up. Maybe they're going to deploy the box and one or the triangle and two for longer stretches. But I bet Coach Shot, you know, 5-time coach of the year for, you know, all the reasons, obviously. He's going to find a way to bust that. So I think it's going to do them well to mix it up. You know, like you said earlier, they were switching. There were some possessions where they were hedging the ball handler. You know, just throw different looks, confuse TND. I think Castro is still a very high-level playmaker, but he doesn't have the rest of his offense going. Mikey had a lot of potential assists na hindi lang tumama. He had one assist or two assists lang ata, but he could have easily had 6, 7, 8 kung pumasok lang yung tira ng mga teammates niya. But Mikey still gets rattled sometimes when you send two defenders on him, when you blitz him. So, you know, mix it up and then, you know, just see what happens from there. That's the best bet of Magnolia right now because this TNT team, even though they might lose Troy Rosario for the rest of the series, Troy didn't really have much of an impact offensively in the first two games and in the third game. So, you know, mix it up. See what happens.
First of all, Eros, my mind is blown right now that you can recount every sequence, like how it happened during the game. Grabe, sobrang bin-rakedown mo play-by-play ata yung buong game three.
Naalala ko lang kasi kakasulat ko lang.
parang yung kay LeBron when he was recounting, it was an interview by LeBron and he basically...
I love that.
Di ba? Parang ganun yung ginawa mo ngayon. I'm so amazed right now. And then, yeah, we've been talking a lot about Magnolia here. So for TNT naman, is this loss something to worry about? Or was it simply just, you know, except for Mikey, of course, everybody just had an off game, maybe off night. So is this loss just something to worry about for TNT? Like, what do we look out for moving forward naman for TNT?
Siguro, i-call back ko muna kay Coach Mark Nickel. Shout out to Coach Mark Nickel who was a very, very good active consultant for TNT in 2020. He implemented a nice five-out system, heavy on three-pointers. And yung problem nila is, you know, hot and cold yung TNT shooter safe. And you know, even in this conference, medyo totoo yun. Yung nangyari in game three. Whenever, it's like Magnolia dared the rest of the TNT players to create their own offense, which they failed to do. Whenever it landed on whenever the ball landed on Castro or Pugoy, you know, they didn't take a lot of shots to them in the first place, I guess, but just couldn't get anything going. And that's a challenge for Coach Chot Reyes. I'm sure there are answers for Box and One and the Triangle and Two. I don't know, medyo bago pa lang ako in studying the film. There are answers, I'm sure he has it, but the answers, finding the answers, that means the rest of your players have to get going. And for the most part, kasi this conference, the other scorers haven't been spectacular. Like, take for example Roger Pugoy. These numbers are before the finals and from Stats Bagayan. You know, Roger was averaging 15 points and just 39% from the field. Below average and true shooting percentage. Same with Castro. 10.5 points. 38.6% from the field. Medyo okay yung true shooting niya. A bit above league average. But the problem is, TNT didn't really get a lot of points through penetration. Kasi yung pagbababa yung field goal percentage mo, hinatak siya ng free throw eh. And how do you get free throws? You get a lot of contact. You drive to the basket. They didn't really get a lot of penetration in game three. So, you know, a lot of maybe to unclog the offense, maybe deploy what screener sets. I say that a lot because it works. It confuses the defenses here in the PBA. Maybe a lot of weak side actions because I bet they're going to focus again on Mikey. Maybe not. We're not pros here, but the good bet is that they're gonna mix it up, throw a lot more junk defenses on TNT. So it's up to the rest of the guys to get their offense going, which is, I guess, somewhat a problem then, because aside from you know, Jason and Roger, which are two very good scorers, by the way, if they're cold, you don't really have a lot of other options. Boy will hit threes, but I guess natuto yung Magnolia a bit from the San Miguel series where there was a stretch in that San Miguel series where JP Adams just killed San Miguel with a bunch of threes because they were sagging off of him. So he's not going to get that luxury against a good defensive team in the hot shots. So, you know, the onus is on the rest of the TNT to, you know, get some action going on the weak side just to get the 3-1 lead of Wednesday.
I think you bring up an interesting point, Eros, about TNT, that they're either hot or a cold team. And I think that's one of their identities this season. And parang last series with San Miguel, that's also a reason why it went to 7 games for me. Kasi parang reminiscent ngayon, game 3, RR Pugoy not really his best game, diba? And last series sa San Miguel, he also had a game like this where he scored like 2 points lang. And that was a game that they lost also. So TNT very up and down on offense. But I missed a point on your finals preview here. You said that the wild card for Magnolia is Paul Lee. Kasi, of course, because of the injuries din, diba? Paul Lee is a wild card, which brings me to my next question. I've been waiting for a superstar battle in this series. And in Game 3, I think we got the closest to that between Paul Lee and Mikey Williams. Even though Paul Lee, of course, didn't like stand punch for punch for Mikey because Mikey was just on fire. He was unstoppable. PBA record, as you said, for most threes, 39 points, diba? And Paulie just scored 21 points. But at least for Magnolia's side, there was a little bit of a counter punch from their superstar. So I think as of 3 games, nobody's coming close to Mikey Williams as the favorite for the finals MVP. So that's my next question to you, Eros. Do you have... other than Mikey, do you have another player who you think can maybe steal the spotlight from the favorite Mikey Williams? If ever TNT wins, diba, I think Mikey is the favorite. Do you think Jason Castro or RR Pugoy has a case? Or if Magnolia, in case, wins, do you think Paul Lee, Sanggalang, Abueva, those guys also have a case? So who's your finals MVP pick so far, Eros?
It's just Mikey, you know. for any other TNT player to win a finals MVP, the series has to go 7 games. Mikey has to score 5 points in each game on 1-for-12 shooting. That's the only way any other TNT player realistically could get anything. Uh-huh. Mikey is historically hot, you know. This one is his to lose. Even if they lose this one somehow, I think Mikey should get a lot of consideration for finals MVP. They just could not find answers for him in the first 2 games. Even in the 3rd game, not much. I guess answer na siguro yung limit mo siya to 8 points and 1 3-point in the 4th quarter. But you had to sort to... Magnolia had to give him the Stephen Curry treatment just to... lock him down in the 4th quarter. You know, you box in 1 and triangle in 2. Those were defenses that Nick Nurse deployed in 2019.
The finals.
Against Golden State. To great success. And, you know, for an opposing defense to give you the Steph Curry 3-bench, you know, that has to get you the trophy. But if Magnolia comes back for this one, I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure. Like I said, I think Mikey has to get a lot of consideration, even if TNT loses. But maybe...
Wait, this happened already in PBA history. A player from the losing team won the finals MVP. I know in the NBA, diba, si Jerry West. Won. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah,
I'm not sure either. I don't really know my PBA history. No. I'll have to check, but
oh, lang, ako rin naman. No.
I'll have to check, but again, you know, Mikey's incredible, so he just has to get that, you know. Or Ian, you know, Ian, the big knock on Ian is that, you know, for me, I don't think other voters would see it that way, but you know, it's subjective, anyway, so that's fine. But Ian was just a liability in games 1 and 2, you know. Sure, he scores, let's say 16. Well, so far, he scored 16 on 39% shooting. But, you know, he gave up a lot on defense because they just hunted him. They would clear out the floor or big setup empty. Pick and rolls, empty side pick and rolls. Just, you know, whenever they saw Ian, TNT saw opportunity to score. Mm. And for me, at least, then that's a pretty... That hurts their case, especially with you scoring you know, a shade under 40%. I think, pwede pa umangat yun. Obviously, 2-1 pa lang yung series and Ian could, what, pop for 30 on, what, 10 for 12 shooting. And that certainly bolsters his case. And Ian was less of a liability on defense in Game 3 kasi, yun nga, with Magnolia deploying him a little closer to the basket whenever they used the box at one and the triangle and two. He had 3 blocks, 2 blocks? He did a pretty good job protecting the rim, cutting off drives. He held his own. So it depends then. I think Ian has the best case to win it if Magnolia ends up winning it, but that means he has to be less of a liability on defense like in Game 3 or in end. He has to shoot better from the field.
I agree, Eros. So far in 3 games, Mikey's performance is unimpeachable. And you know, who knows? Maybe if ever TNT loses, we'll see the first ever. Or you guys can fact check us about this. If TNT loses, he'll end up the first ever to win the Finals MVP on a losing team. So. Lastly, on the PBA Finals, Eros, there's also color developing in the series, which we like to see as fans. JP Aram posted social media about a dirty player spitting incident, diba? Do you have any idea who is he talking about, Eros? Even though.
So, well, internally, meron you know hunches, but
it's not clear, no.
Yeah, Spin ran a report earlier saying that.
I haven't seen this.
Alleged perpetrator will go unpunished because they don't have a video. They don't have video proof because supposedly it happened during a dead ball situation and. Boy, of course, refused to name names. So, speculation sa lang eh. Internal na lang yun. But yun nga, it's unfortunate because, you know, yeah, the I wouldn't say boring. I think the first 2 games were, if you like watching film, I think there's a lot to appreciate about the first 2 games. But I guess coming from a fan perspective, you know, people like color, people like drama in the PBA. And, you know, sure. I guess it's unfortunate. It's just unfortunate. I hope that both sides keep it clean. We focus on the basketball because it's art, man. You focus on the art, yeah. You focus on the game. You know, I'm not a fan of the shenanigans, so hopefully wala nang ganun for it.
And also, MVP, of course, the owner, Manny V. Pangilinan, the owner of TNT, tweeted out blasting the officials, the officiating in Game 3. But I don't know if it's just from my perspective, but except for the phantom foul on Heruela, I thought it was not heavily called naman on favored for Magnolia, the calls. Even if when you look at the free throw attempts, it's close. I think Magnolia I don't have the numbers, but as far as I can remember, I hope I have your memory here, Eros, but Magnolia just shot 2 more attempts and free throws. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that confirmation. So yun. What about from your perspective, Eros? Do you feel like what MVP said has merit?
Maybe, to a degree. I guess the PBA has to do a better job of controlling the physicality so that it doesn't get out of hand. You know, the referee's job are to just arbitrate and keep the game clean, obviously, and to keep the game going. They could do a better job of preventing things from escalating by calling tighter fouls. But in general, I think from a basketball perspective, I don't want to speculate on what other people might theorize in terms of, you know what I mean. But yeah. I think most of the calls in the PPA are clean. Like, they don't really call the terrible fouls, super terrible fouls. They don't really call a lot of that here. Again, yeah, I agree with the game theory assessment. Mas malaki yung free throw disparity in the first two games. You know, Magnolia shot 29 free throws to TNT's 27. TNT didn't hit a lot. They hit 18. That's not good. Magnolia hit 27. So
out of 29, diba? Parang dalawang meses lang.
Oh, yeah, and for long stretches in the conference, Magnolia was the top free throw shooting team and a top three team on attempt. So I think the officiating's been fine for the most part. The referees just have to do a better job of arbitrating and diffusing heated incidents. Yeah.
Right. Way to go to squash that issue, Ero. So actually, kinakabahan nga ako nung game, when I was watching the game nung Sunday, na ma-3-0 yung Magnolia, kasi I thought maybe magiging mas boring yung conversation natin ngayon. We've had a very different conversation about the PBA Finals. But thanks to Magnolia for winning and at least making this series interesting. So, prediction time, Eros. I have Magnolia winning game 4, and I don't know, my mind says TNT wins the series, but I want Magnolia to win for the hell of it. I see it Magnolia in 7. What about you, Eros? Game 4 prediction and the series.
Game 4, TNT takes it and they take it in 5 or 6. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I don't mind if I'm wrong. Kung binagay ako sa freezing cold takes, that's absolutely fine. But just based from my amateur observation, aside from box in 1 and triangle in 2, they don't really have much of an option defensively. They were desperate, so they had to try yung junk defenses. But you know, there are two questions there. What if TNT eventually finds an answer, because you can't point it for an extended period of time. Dito lang naman sa PBA na nagzozona ng matagal din mga tao, but against TNT, you can't do that because they're gonna find answers. They have the personnel to crack the zone, keep it moving, put someone on the nail, get the offense going. Bigs could get involved. You know, a lot of weak side actions could. It's a big what if, about what if, and I'm not sure Magnolia can answer that, especially with, they had to get desperate. They had to resort to junk defense just to get a win. And they might get more wins. I could always be wrong, but makakrack yon. And they don't have the offensive personnel to go toe-to-toe on a consistent basis. You need Mark Baroka to shoot this well, to score this well. You need Ian to shoot better. You need Calvin to be more deliberate in his offense. You need Paul Lee to get going, to be in rhythm, to be, you know, going downhill. Right? So, TNT is a very good defensive team. They were a top 2 defensive team for most of the conference. And they had the best net rating in the PBA, which means they could kill you on both ends of the floor. So, I'm not that confident in... I was a big Magnolia believer entering the conference. Like, I honestly believe that they could you know, win it all. But I didn't really foresee that TNT would be this good defensively. I didn't foresee Kelly would be awesome defensively. I think he's an early defensive player of the year candidate. But, you know, with these developments and with Magnolia's shortcomings and over-reliance, maybe later on the zone, I'm not confident that they can handle it. So I'm getting TNT in 5 or 6.
But y'all, right, so I... I have Magnolia in 7, Eros has TNT in 5 or 6, and I expected you to pick TNT, so I just wanted to zag on your zig. But what's the latest pala on Troy, Eros? I think that can play a big factor.
Well, will he play? I'm not sure. I think he's doubtful to return for the rest of the series because injury niya, medyo may spinal shock din. So 70% lang daw yung nararamdaman niya sa one of his legs, and uh-huh. my pinky injury. Nakabali na rin. So that he might undergo surgery. So that's a big blow. Kasi Troy offers them versatility. He's not being used as a three-point shooter much in this conference. As in, if you look at the numbers and the film, bagsak yung three-point shooting niya, yung attempts niya. And that's fine kasi he excels a lot dun sa dunker spot or sa short roll, or you know, he doesn't really spot up a lot. But yung versatility na yun within the paint, that might be a big loss for KD din.
Yeah, so kind of like a Bruce Brown role for Troy Rosario this season. So Eros, let's switch to the NBA. As much as I want to talk to you for the whole night, I want to respect your time. So this will be our last topic. So sino ba yung bias mo sa NBA? Sino yung team mo? Oh, the Lakers! Let's go!
I'm wearing the Lakers jacket. So... I'm a Laker fan. Big Laker fan since forever. So, still supporting them. I love them. Still love them.
Yeah, same here. I've been a Laker fan since forever. I grew up in a Lakers family. That's why. And of course, also because Kobe is my hero. He's my idol. So... the Lakers. Okay, so and di ko in expect actually na I'll be talking to a fellow Laker fan here. But okay, so the Lakers got their first win for the post Drummond era. Diba? Kasi they were winless since that picture, that post up picture. So against the Memphis Grizzlies, which was a very entertaining game. Of course, Ja Morant had 40 points with 10 assists. Sobrang grabe Ja Morant ang ginawa niya. But for the Lakers side, I think it was the most comfortable Russell Westbrook in Lakers uniform. He like had 8 assists in the first half pa lang. He was distributing the ball. He was... passing it to the bigs. He had good chemistry with the Lakers bigs. And at last, Westbrook set a screen. He was utilized better in during that game. I thought the play calling for the Lakers were smarter in that game compared to the first two games. So for the Lakers, for our Lakers, Eros, what are the things that you like and don't like or you didn't like in the first three games so far? Lakers 1-2. Go ahead, Eros.
Okay. I like that they're experimenting with better offensive sets. In Twitter, I follow C. Grant, just McBasketballs at Twitter, and he just breaks down a lot.
Yeah, I follow him too.
Yeah, he's very good. And nakita mo na they're diversifying his sets. They don't really... Last year, I'm not sure. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but they didn't really run a lot of, let's say, split action or ghost screens. Not that they had the person on them. Yeah, but they're diversifying. And that's a very good sign. Okay. They're going to go through growing pains. But it's always a good sign, especially... Let's say kapag na-acclimate na everyone settles into their role.
When everyone returns,
When everyone returns healthy, pag tinanggal mo na minutes yung mga certain people like DeAndre Jordan, the offense has a lot of potential. And the defense, there are questions there, I guess, but they're not as good as they were defensively because they lost, KCP and Alex Caruso, who are very good point of attack defenders and chasers. And that hurts, but I think offset naman yung paints na yun once the offense gets going. What I dislike about the Lakers, big man minutes. oh my goodness, put Anthony Davis. I get Anthony Davis for not wanting to play the five full time because the wear and tear of an 82 game season. It's an issue, but statistically, the best lineups of the Lakers involved Anthony Davis playing at the five. The worst lineups involved DeAndre Jordan playing alongside Anthony Davis. Or yung Dwight minutes naman, they're wash at least. So, you know, put stop playing around. Or kahit man ang ibang roster sila where lineup sila where they put Rondo and Westbrook together. Iwala tayo sa PBA. Kung nga sa PBA, ah, sige, pwede yan. But that's not gonna work in this, you know, place and space NBA. So, yeah, I hate that. I hate, and I hope Frank fixes it soon.
Yeah, so among the new Lakers players, who is your favorite? And why is it Austin Reeves? The Caruso re-emergence or the reincarnation in Lakers this year.
If you ask that question without saying Austin Reeves, I would have mentioned Austin Reeves anyway because he's very smart. I think at this stage in their careers entering the NBA, he was better than Alex was because Alex had to develop the shot back.
Yeah.
Alex was better defensively.
Better shooter, certainly didn't.
Alex is better defensively, but he didn't really have the shot. The playmaking chops are major shaky, pa. I'm not saying Austin is a great playmaker, but he makes a lot of good reads and just keeps sets going. He knows his role, which is very important in a team that has a lot of veterans. He has a nice shot. He's not really the best lights out shooter. I think some 30% na siya nung college siya. But you know, yung ability to space the floor. He can defend. He's a very smart defender. Not as good as Alex was at this point in their careers when comparing, but smart defensively. He's a high IQ player. He keeps sets going. I love Austin Reeves. I love smart players. I love scrappy players. Austin Reeves is a cult hero. He's going to be a cult hero for us, man.
The GOAT. Good GOAT, certainly. Yeah, I have to check myself now, Eros. We're nearing the one-hour mark and we can go on and on about the Lakers. For the Lakers, I think one of the, well, maybe not unpopular, but an opinion I have for the Lakers this season is that I see them not having home court advantage for the playoffs because of the fact that, yes, the main concern is how will Westbrook fit alongside AD and LeBron and along the team. But let's not forget that this is a whole new team. Only THT, AD, and LeBron were the holdovers from last season. So talagang magkakapaan sila. I think this season will mostly be, as you said, diversifying, experimentation, a feel-out season. So that's the main factor for me that the Lakers maybe won't have the best record in the West or maybe not the top four teams record-wise, diba? What's your outlook for the Lakers this season during the regular season at least?
Well, at first, they could get, seventh seed, eighth seed, or, play-in. At best, maybe
like last
third
year.
But they're not gonna blow, blow the doors off of opposing teams. Because, Frank is diversifying his offense, figuring out rotations, which is like historically slow shutdown and changing his rotation. So, expect losses, like disappointing losses. Yes, they're not gonna get home court advantage, I agree, but, I do believe that they have another gear when it matters. They still have LeBron and AD. LeBron is one of the best problem solvers in the history of NBA, in the history of basketball. AD, when healthy, devastating force. When he makes a shot, devastating force. So, and, they're more, compare that to their 2020 team, which I have a t-shirt, by the way, champions. compare that to their 2020 team. They're a much better offensive team. And they just have to go through the growing pains of an 82-game season and figure things out in time for the playoffs, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, as long as LeBron and AD is healthy, we're going for that we're going for that title this year. Sana pala sinuot ko rin yung Lakers cap ko in our episode. Right. So before we get out of here, Eros, why don't you tell everyone, our listeners, where can they find you? Where can they find your work? Go ahead and just promote everything you can.
Right. Right now, I'm at SpinPH. That could change depending on, you know, what shapes up in the future for me. But right now, I'm at SpinPH. So check out my work, my columns. Feel free to call me out. And for any of my mistakes, DM me, Twitter, @erosvillanueva_underscore_sadulo. And you know, just keep supporting us, especially, promote. I want to promote the Dribble Media and Stats by Ryan. Dribble Media, they're composed of a bunch of great writers. They're very hardworking. Ryan is brilliant with his numbers. And then, si Isaiah Flores, he eyes hoops highlights. I learned a bunch of stuff from Ice. Whenever I can, I check out stuff. Yeah, man, he has a very good grasp of film. And for everyone just wants to improve their read of basketball, he's a must watch his YouTube channel. So go check him out.
Yeah, and for those listening, you know, the secret to being knowledgeable about basketball is just take law school. Kasi itong si Eros and si Ryan Alba, the common denominator for them, they both took law school, and look how smart they are in analyzing the game.
No.
Do you not recommend that?
I don't recommend it. If you don't like law, I don't recommend it. Please do what you love. Don't jump in there if you're not prepared.
Okay, so Eros, again, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been incredible. I learned a lot from talking to you.
Thank you. You're
really one of the best and brightest writers we have in Philippine basketball. And yeah, thank you again for your time. And ladies and gents, thank you for listening, and we out.